Hello everyone, my name is Javier. I'm here to talk to you about this past year of development at ProxySQL team in 2021 DevSummit. So, Hunain, I'm a system engineer currently working at ProxySQL development team. For more information, you can find me both on GitHub and GitLab under the name JavierJF. But maybe more interesting question is how I am here. And well, in short, at some event 2 years ago, I found this advertising together with some flyers. And yeah, that event was Fosden 2 years ago. And today here I am, very glad of being able to tell you about all the recent work that we have done at ProxySQL. So my goal is to give you a brief overview of all the features I consider more exciting, either by impact or because they offer interesting insights about ProxySQL itself. I will try also to provide you with the most sparkling technical details I can afford to give context in this short time that we have. So without any more delay, I will jump into the features. First one, the Prometheus Porter. This is a big feature I want to talk about. It has been in ProxySQL since 2.1.0. We added a built-in Prometheus exporter that currently exposes over 180 metrics. These metrics are exposed through an HTTP endpoint, which can be consumed later by Prometheus, and then later can be consumed by whatever other service. In this case, for example, Grafana. So why Prometheus was chosen? Well, Prometheus was chosen due to the simplicity of its format, the great widespread adoption that it has, and the availability of exported libraries that matched our requirements. Also, it kind of provided the observability that we were looking for and that we could adjust to our needs. So, the API design. I want to talk a little bit more here. So, there were two key aspects to the API design that we care the most. It was simplicity and performance. So, first, the metrics should be defined in a few lines of code that should be really maintainable, should try to be error-prone, should be safe to access. But also, should be fast to be accessed. So because of this, we based our approach in a per-module defined maps. In essential, these maps are each defined per module containing the per ProxySQL module containing the metrics definition. These definitions are used during initialization to instantiate per module arrays based on the definitions, which contains the metric objects themselves, later to be updated. And the metrics objects from those arrays are exposed through the exporter. What this offers to us an error-prone metrics definition and access, and very fast access to these metrics arrays elements. But since Prometheus metric updates is an anatomy of operation, we really care about performance, and we didn't want to spend any extra cost on ProxySQL working threads for the only purpose of being continuously updating a metric. What we did is that a number of metrics, not all of them, but a number of them, are internal per thread counters. And then later, which then later are collected and used to update the actual metrics objects on these arrays. On demand. This on demand is when the polling operation comes over the endpoint. This design, what lets us is to keep growing in the number of metrics without really worrying about hurting performance at all. So this previously described design contrasts with the admin interface. This is why I wanted to include this here. And it is because the admin interface isn't built in with this kind of performance considerations in mind. yes, we try to keep the AMI interface as fast as performant as reasonable, but this is the main goal of the interface. So using it to obtain metrics about PROCSQL in a tight poly loop should always be avoided in favor of the Prometheus exporter. Together with the feature, we packet some Grafana panels, reference Grafana panels that you can check out in this repo. They serve as an example of how to configure and use the exporter. Don't take them as a sort of truth because things change, but they can be useful for a first approach to exporter. Here you can see an example of these panels. In the left one, you can see information about PROCSQL frontend and backend connections. And the second one, you can see information about the connection pool errors and more connection details. So we move to the next feature, which is prepare a statement result set buffering. So starting with also PROCSQL 2.1.0, we introduce the buffering of large result sets for prepared statements. So this means that we can start sending to the client already receive a fragment from a result set without waiting for the reception of the whole thing. This is very interesting because this makes the behavior of PROCSQL homogeneous with uniform with Trex protocol. It's also controlled by the same variable that was used to control index protocol, which is MySQL threshold resource size. The feature conclusion of this one is that this allows for a much more steady use of memory in PROCSQL side, even for very big result sets. So now it doesn't really matter the size of the result set of that you are going to be receiving. PROCSQL should have a steady use of memory. And then now we are moving to a couple of security related features. Let's start with speed authentication. In 2.1.1, support for speed authentication was added. Let's briefly define what SPIF is. So SPIF, Secure Production Identity Framework for Everyone, is a set of open source standards for securely identified software system in dynamic and heterogeneous environments. So, what is important to remember about SPIF for PROCSQL integration? So, there are two key concepts that we want to keep in mind about SPIF and PROCSQL. These are the SVID, the SPIF verifiable entity document, and SPIF ID, the URI for the workload. So, essentially, how these two relate is that SPIF SVID is a document in which the workload proves its identity to a resource of or caller. It encodes the SPIF ID in a cryptographically verifiable document, supported in two formats, X509 certificate or JWT token. PROCSQL supports the former, the certificate. So in PROCSQL side, what we need to use to know for using SPIF authentication. So we need to first define the user attribute SPIF ID, which should be configured with the specific SPIF workload in which PROCSQL is going to be deployed. Here is an example of one. And then we need to supply a certificate X509 V3, which can be verified against the PROCSQL certificate. And this certificate should contain a SAM URI with the same ID as the specified in the user attribute SPIF ID. So, in the case of a client connection supplying this SVID, which is the certificate with the SAM, PROCSQL with the standards match this ID, PROCSQL is going to verify the certificate against PROCSQL cert. Remark here, PROCSQL is not going to do this always. This doesn't mean that PROCSQL supports MTLS. This means that in this particular case, what PROCSQL is going to verify the supply certificate against the PROCSQL cert as a way of verifying the identity of the client. But it's just in this case, in the case that the client is supplying a certificate which holds a SAM URI identifier starting with SPIF. more TLS, more improvements. So in TLS improvements, we have clean certificate reload. This is a feature introducing 2.3.0, which added multiple TLS support improvements. And the first one is clean certificate reload. In combination with the previous feature for already being able to change the backend connection certificates, this feature allows a full certificate renewal on ProxySQL side without requiring a ProxySQL restart. So, how, for refreshing the memory, how the old feature work? So, the old feature work, for renewing the backend certificate, you just need to change the MySQL variables that we can see here that are already known to us, and then issue the load MySQL variables to runtime. In contrast, in the new feature, what we need to do for renewal the client certificates is you can swap the files that you see there specified, and then issue the command ProxySQL reload TLS. After doing that, and knowing that you can check the error log for ProxySQL log for checking the operation took place and was successful, the new clean certificate should be used for new incoming connections. Other features introduced for TLS improvements, as also in the same version, is that now other type of keys can be used. For example, easy keys that the certificate revocation list and multiple certificate authorities through CA path can also be configured. This is from the and this is not from 2.3.0. This is from the coming release 2.4.0. That allows TLS version can now be explicitly specified. So this means that now you can select the TLS version you want to allow and the ones that you want to disallow, including you can also allow the deprecated TLS v1 and TLS v1.1. Sorry. So in this case, if you enable these deprecated TLS versions, ProxySQL will issue a warning because we don't encourage using this deprecated TLS. Other feature, clean error limit. So this is also a feature introduced in 2.3.0. It's a feature introduced for controlling the number of errors that can be initiated from a particular address before denying any future connections from that address. So in that way, this is kind of a protocol-aware DDoS protection mechanism that you can have a ProxySQL layer. How is control? So this feature is controlled by these two variables, which is host error counts and host cache size, and can be clear and the cache can be cleared through that particular command that you see there. So the first variable determines the number of errors that a client needs to reach before getting banned from future connections, and the cache size determines the size of the cache being used for keeping track of all the client addresses that have had any connection errors. So, the feature is observable through these stats tables, which can be queried anytime for seeing any of the clients that have been banned or which holds errors in the connections. Some technical insights. There's a minimal technical insight here. So, in order to keep the processing of invalid connection attempts as light as we can, when the feature is enabled, the first thing that is being checked is that when the connection is established is the cache status. If the client address is from the cache and doesn't have any further connection attempts left, then the connection is denied and the socket is immediately closed. So there is no need to process authentication and no session creation inside ProxySQL. Now we move on. We reach two query DGS improvements, which have been quite many of them since ProxySQL 2.1.0, which is the one we are seeing right now. The query DGS improvement that we are seeing here is that we introduce a better replacement in 2.1.0, trying to make queries more uniform. So you can see there the decimal replacement, floor replacement, and space suppression. Also, a grouping option was introduced, which is this grouping option, MySQL Query.js grouping limit, which allows for replacing a query which holds many replacements in a group. It allows to compress them into a group of the size that you want, you can specify. In this case, the limit is 3, and you see the 3 marks replaced there. Query.js parsing has received a big refactor, and that is going to land in 2.4.0, in which the main goals of the refactor were address multiple corner cases from that produces unexpected digest that we were aware of, make the implementation simple and more readable for future changes, and also try to improve the performance of the current implementation in the process. Also, we added a new grouping option. So let's get rid of the grouping option. This is a new grouping option that will land in 2.4.0, which is Query.js groups grouping limit, default value 2. And if before we talk about the groups of the group, the query grouping that lets you compress groups, now this feature allows you to compress compressed groups. The way it works, you can see it there in that insert. This feature will allow to compress very, very large queries into something really manageable and that you can pick the arbitrary size that suits you for the compression. Performance improvements. So one of the goals was performance improvements, and the new implementation refactored the previous single part parser into a multi-parser staging. This allows us to have less branching per stage, a more simple logic to follow in each of the stages, more user control on parsing output and the time wasting on processing the digest. This is because the latest stages, the one related to grouping, can be completely disabled through the configuration variables that we have just looked. And also now, there is a compression performed, the compression performed over the original query during the digest generation is used for allowing bigger queries to fit in the query buffer. So this means that you will be able to fit a very, very large query in a very small buffer for digest if there is a ton of replacement in that query. All of this with up to 30% improvement of performance improvement that we have tried in pretty generic scenarios. New feature, completely related now, QPS limit rules. So this is also a coming feature for 2.0.4. This feature will allow to impose QPS limits for queries based on 3 different criteria, will be username, schema name, and flag in. Flagging, as you may know, correlates to flag out and apply specify in the MySQL query rules table. This feature is going to be controlled by a new table, which is MySQL QPS limit rules. Has 2 configuration values for controlling the matching query, which is QPS limit, the desired QPS impose for the matching query, and the bucket size, which is the parsedness of the variations allowed to the QPS limit, informally known as the depth of the token bucket. For more information about these 2 parameters and how they relate, you can refer to the token bucket algorithm because it's the one that is being used for the implementation of this feature. We move on fast to cluster improvements. So there have been a lot happening in cluster. Cluster has super multiple improvements, including further type of variable synchronization, SSL support for inter-cluster communication, and compatibility between, this is an upcoming feature that will be compatibility between release and debug builds. The last one is a funny one that I have included. It's not a big feature, but it's interesting. I'm sure it will be kind of handy. It's the kind of feature that will be kind of handy in the future that you want it to be there. I won't say anything more about cluster because Rene is going to give you a much better and detailed insights about it all in an upcoming talk that I encourage everyone to see. So we move on to client deprecation UI support. In short, what it is? It's a protocol chain introduced in MySQL 5.7.5. It's essentially the deprecation of the OF packets in favor of OK packets. The motivation for it was that OK packets are extensible, and through that extensibility, the idea was to support client session track that adds additional information to the packet. As a real world example that of this, in Shopify, we're doing a very interesting use case of it, in which they were sending back performance metrics from inside the database using this client session track. So, but what challenge does this means in ProxySQL side? So, on our side, this has a lot of challenges, because first of all, this protocol chain wasn't supported by our connector, which was LibMariaDB client. As you can imagine, this is already a big deal. And of course, the change affected directly or indirectly to many modules in ProxySQL. Special support commands that ProxySQL has that need to reply differently depending on the protocol. Query cache, because we now need to translate because one protocol version to the other. Capabilities trunking from client side, and etc. This propagation of required changes also presented a challenge for testing, especially because at protocol level, different connectors may behave differently. They do. So it was challenging, but now we can say the ProxySQL has full support for compatibility for client deprecating OF, which is a huge thing.
Sure.
This is all the list of features I have been able to have the time to go through. As you have seen, there is a lot coming for ProxySQL 2.4.0 and future releases. We are very excited about the coming year. I would like to use the opportunity to encourage you to try the latest versions of ProxySQL. That's all. Thank you a lot for your attention. It has been a pleasure to be part of FOSDEM. And of course, as final, I would like to thank the ProxySQL community for this amazing year. Thank you, and I hope to see you again soon.